Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Not much. What's going on?
Not much. Just kind of close there. I thought that you forgot about the show you wanted to do, and I was going to have to go solo at 7 o'clock in the morning. But luckily, you came in with like 5 seconds to go, so everything's all right. What's going on with you?
I usually come in this late, don't I? It's nothing new.
Yeah, usually, but, you know, that's when I know I already have Craig usually on the line, so I have someone to talk to.
And it's usually in the evening. It's not at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I'm
The time changes on you today because you wanted to do a show. And anyway, I haven't heard from you or Craig in I don't even know how long. So what's been going on with you?
Not too much, just the same old stuff. I think we've been playing a musical chair show for about the last month or so, though. So.
Yeah, like I say, I don't even remember the last time the three of us have done a show together.
I think the last time we did a show was, I think it was right before the premiere of The Walking Dead, and we hadn't even talked about that yet, and it's been like 6 episodes since. So.
Yeah, so that's been a while. So anyway, two-thirds of the cast is here today. I'm sure Craig is either working or asleep at this time, because I guess it would be like 5 in the morning his time right now. So
yeah.
No, Craig, maybe next week. Dave Prazak's supposed to be on, so he thinks he's Dave's buddy, so maybe he'll be on next week.
Okay.
Join me for that. So. But anyway, last week I tried to, the weekend before, I made a return trip to Chicago for Shimmer, and I was kind of running through that when Keech got disconnected, started texting me because he couldn't call in because it was after the live feed. So he distracted me and caused me to think that I got disconnected. So I think I ended the show by accident when I actually wasn't disconnected. I'm not positive what happened. It was kind of confusing. But anyway, I didn't get to finish my damn Shimmer report. So I was halfway through the fifth DVD. So I kind of do want to just quickly try and run through those real quick.
That's cool.
And stuff, so. It's only like a little more than half the show. So let me go through there. I think when I got cut off, I was doing a review of Lufisto wrestling Solo Darling, and basically what had been going up on to this time is on the very first episode, Lufisto cut one of those promos where she's talking about how she's had some bad luck, but she's going to change things around, and she's making promises, and you can either tell she's either going to fulfill her promises or she's going heel in the process. And considering she started losing pretty much every match over that taping and being extremely pissed off about it, something was going to come to a boil. So she's having this match with Solo Darling. And basically, Solo's trying to be wacky and Lucisto's trying to be serious and not fuck around. And she's basically beating the shit out of Solo to the point where she would kill her with a move and then start yelling at her to stay down. And she didn't want to hurt her friend and just stay down, just stay down. And Solo would still fight to get up. So this happened once or twice and Lucisto would kill her. And then finally she finishes her off and she pins her, but then she looks really upset with herself for having to have gone to this length to kill her friend, as she was saying during the match. And she goes to help Solo up and raises her hand. And then, boom, the heel turn finally came, and she clotheslined Solo Darling and then literally beat the living shit out of her and smashed her into the railings and stuff. So the heel turn for Lucisto finally happened. The next match was probably the second best match of the whole weekend. It was Kaylee Ray from Scotland taking on Nixon Noel from England. And for the first time, even though that the announcer kept announcing that Nixon Noel had the shiniest wizard, it didn't cause the opponent to know it was coming and miss that she actually hit the shining wizard on Kaylee Ray. But unfortunately, it was not the finish, and Kaylee Ray kicked out, and then Kaylee Ray ended up winning the match. And they only had like 8 minutes maybe, but for some reason those 8 minutes were the second best match of the week, and they just worked really great together and it was fucking awesome. And that was fantastic. Next match with the new tag team champions, unfortunately, of Vanessa Craven and Tessa Blanchard, and they took on Bale Spin of Casey Spinelli and Xander Bale, and they ended up retaining the titles and defeated, and I still think they should have kept the titles on Team Flat Tactic, but I guess I'm not the booker. I don't know what's going on. Next match was a typical four-way shimmer match, and you had Mia Yim against Alice and Kate.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, go ahead.
Is Tessa Blanchard any good? Because I've never seen her before. Well, I've seen her, but I haven't seen her work.
Tessa Blanchard is fucking awesome. As far as, like, her work rate, she's not up there with Mia Yim and Kaylee Ray and Kelly Skater and the very top worker. She's not at that level. She's a good worker. She's solid. She's good. She's just not at the top level. But as far as being a heel, cutting interviews, charisma, she's fucking one of the best, dude. The apple did not far from the tree.
Is she the swing flash suplex?
She doesn't use swing flash suplex, but you know, she does have that thing her dad has where there's, even though she's hot as fuck, there's not one fucking likable thing about her other than she's hot. I mean, these people hate her, dude. I mean, and she's got this, she cuts awesome promos. The gimmick that she has is she's not very big. She's kind of short. She's petite. You know what I mean? Kind of small, but she bodyguard named Vanessa Craven, who is basically my height. I've taken photos with her. One photo looks like I'm slightly taller. One photo looks like she's taller than me. Big, big girl. I mean, she's not fat, but she's big. She's, you know, one of the monsters there. And it's so funny because Tessa is like the little fucking bully that doesn't shut up, but has the big friend that she stands behind. That's basically what this is. But she's so conceited and mean that she's totally mean to Vanessa Craven. Like, she's always yelling at her, telling her what to do, screaming at her, blames her if something goes wrong. But it's always Vanessa Craven that helps her win, basically. But then she claims that she did it all on her own and she didn't need no help. That's basically the gimmick. And you're waiting for Vanessa to turn on her, but it's been like 3 tapings that this has been going, like a running gag where Vanessa keeps taking it and just, you know, the team stays together and Tessa's just, she's awesome. You should really look into like her work or see if you can find some promos or whatever. And mm-hmm. See, check her out that way, because once you see her, you'll know that it's Telly's daughter in every fucking way. Hopefully she doesn't have a queen problem.
She's one of the hottest. I mean, she's one of the best-looking women I've seen in a long time. I mean, in wrestling, at least.
Yeah, she is. She's very attractive. She's got the perfect facial for like a heel who's getting beat up too.
I saw her at the thing that I think Dave got honored at, like some kind of Hall of Fame thing. She was there with her dad on stage, and she's smoking hot.
Oh yeah, dude, you should see her in her gear and everything. She's like I said, that's the only likable thing about her though. Yeah. So anyway,
She and Charlotte make a good heel team, huh?
They would, dude. I don't know why they haven't gone for it. Peach on the show last week was saying she's a pair of fake boobs away. Maybe that's it. I don't know what else she needs because she's fucking gorgeous. Like I say, she can work. Her promo and character and charisma, that's off the charts, dude. I mean, she has more charisma and personality than Charlotte. Way more. You know, Charlotte's just a better worker, I guess. But, yeah, hopefully they'll get her soon. I mean, cause she really is, dude. She should be there. Just on, she'd have more personality than every single person in NXT if they put her there. Oh fuck, Dana Brooke and Nia Jax and then Aaliyah. They're three of the fucking worst women wrestlers I've ever seen in my fucking life, and they're hired by WWE. I don't fucking get it. I mean, Nia Brooks I get because she's big, and I thought she did the best she had done on Survivor Series, which we'll talk about later, but other than that, I mean, she's fucking horrible. Dana Brooks, horrible. Like I say, that's
good when she's killing somebody, not when she's having, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, matches.
Well, like, there was, like, And then she needs an opponent that's going to be like a rubber ball off of her. Like when they first brought her into NXT, her first like three matches were first two matches were against two of the Shimmer girls that they brought in for the taping, Evie and Kaylee Ray. Like they went in there and they bumped for her and they let her kill her. But it's one of those matches where the girl getting 5% of the match is, you can tell, is like a million times better than the one, and then they're pushing. But like when she started wrestling like the other girls from NXT, she just wasn't that good. And now in WWE, you know, they're having her basically wrestle just the like Braun Strowman. They bring in that typical indie girl that's not very good, green, and it just not very good. And
yeah, Dana Brooks, I knew the little stuff that she had with Alicia Fox. I thought that was pretty good. She pretty much just killed her.
Yeah. And, you know, Alicia's a little better at it than the other girl that they had come in and kill her. And Dana Brooks is fucking, I'm sorry, she's dog shit.
The only good thing I'll say about Dana is, at least with her role, she always gets her ass kicked, so it's like, it's worth it, kind of. She always ends up getting her ass kicked by the baby faces. So,
yeah,
she's an annoying little bitch on TV. My God.
The way they let her dress, it's always like very unflattering. She looks like she's pregnant or something, honestly. I don't get that shit at all.
You don't know how to use the ropes for leverage. You don't know how to reach the ropes. You're too short.
That's the worst thing I've seen in a ring in I don't even know how long. I mean, the whole finish is to get heat on Bayley, but protect her, right? And what did she do? She made Bayley look fucking pathetic by not getting her foot on the fuck. What the fuck?
Seriously. That was worse. The other worst thing I've seen, like in the last few months. I remember who was involved, but something happened on the outside with Titus O'Neil, where he was supposed to get hit and like hit the ropes or something. And up
he was supposed to fly back and hit the ring post and like the shining star off the ring. That was awesome. I mean, that was a fuck up. You know, that was a fuck up, but that was a fuck up that was an awesome fuck up.
Remember that bump that Batista took off Mark Henry at one time?
Yeah.
Like in the middle of the ring. And he just leapt from his feet backwards to take a bump and it looked so bad. My God.
Yeah.
Anyway,
his name is horrible. All right. But anyway, back to my report here. They always have like a four-way match, you know, because they got to get so many girls on the show. So they had a four-way, and this one was an extremely talented four-way. You had Mia Yim, Jade, TNA, against Allison Cave, who's Sienna in TNA, and Kimberly and Evie. And Evie's one of my favorites. And they had an awesome fucking four-way. Mia Yim won this one. This was a really good match. Next off, they had Shayna Baszler against Heidi Lovelace, and they had to give Shayna her heat back after doing the job in the last tapings, which I talked about, which was fucking awesome. But she defeated Heidi Lovelace to get back on the winning track. They had a Bruin Bunkhouse Brawl. I thought you'd get a kick out of that name.
Bunkhouse Brawl?
Berwyn, because the tapings in Berwyn, I mean, on Sunday are taped at Berwyn, at they're at the Berwyn's Eagle Club, or Bruins Eagle Club. I think it's Berwyn. I can never say it right, dude. But that's the name of the little city it's in. So it was a Berwyn Bunkhouse Brawl.
Okay.
And this was Saraya Knight, Paige's mother from WWE, and after trying to get her hands on Nicole Matthews pretty much the whole weekend. They did have a short match on one of the tapings, but it was very short. And a six-man with Mickey James involved was. So Raya got to beat her up a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't enough, and you just wanted more. So finally, turned Nicole Matthews, had this no-DQ match. It took about 10 minutes before they even got into the ring because they were brawling all over the stands. They went to the merch tables. Destroyed a table full of DVDs. High Spots DVDs went flying everywhere. I guess they were High Spots or Marvel. Some of the tables full of DVDs. Pat LaPrade and his selling his books, and they all went running and flying everywhere. And
they didn't match anybody everywhere. Off like that other show you went to, did they?
No, no. This was, I'm pretty sure Dave Prezak made sure to tell him only hit the DVD tables and not the merch tables. Yeah, that's basically what they did. So anyway, they ended up brawling by the ring, and they're busting out weapons. And you know, the last time Saraya Knight was there, I told you how she was going by in the crowd, and she fucking backhanded me right in the ribs, knocked the shit out of me. Well, I'm 100% on Saraya matches about being assaulted in some way. They were fighting. Outside, they finally made their way toward the ring, but they were outside. Nicole Matthews reaches under the ring, grabs like a stick, like a very small, skinny, round stick. And she goes to, before she hits Saraya, she goes to hit the ropes, and actually a little piece of the stick broke. So that shows you how heavy it was. But then she whacks Saraya, and then she rears back to hit her again, and when she rears back, boom, fucking hits me right in the arm with the stick. So Dave Prezak's lucky because for the second time, I'm not going to press charges or sue, even though I was assaulted and I was put in harm's way and hit with a stick, which I fucked up. I should have assaulted better. I should have, like, grabbed my arm and started screaming, oh, shit, or something, you know what I mean? Got some camera time, maybe, but I wasn't thinking on my feet. So anyway, basically, they killed each other, and then Saraya wrapped the thing around Nicole's throat, and then pulled her off the apron and basically hung her off the ring, and basically Nicole Matthews was murdered in front of everybody. Well, I saw her at the after party, so she survived, but it looked like she choked to death from, like, being hung and stuff, because she was all fighting it, and then she went limp for a while, and it was actually pretty fucking awesome. But like I say, I did get fucking whacked with a stick. And then she yells at me and tells me to watch out. It's like, you hit me, goddammit, what the fuck? So front rows, from where I sit, can be very dangerous in that Berwyn's place, but makes the show more entertaining. Finally, last match was the title rematch. The former champion, Mercedes Martinez, was getting her rematch against Kelly Skater, who defeated her on the second taping of the Shimmer Championship. And everything about this kind of, like, made sense as far as, like, the finish, because basically the way Kelly got the first match is she had a tag match with Shazza McKenzie, and they were against Mercedes and Shayna Baszler. Basically, Mercedes Martinez, Shayna Baszler, and Nicole Savoy are a team. They're called Trifecta. Savoy couldn't wrestle. She was hurt because of her knee, but she was there like being their manager. So basically they're having a tag match, and Skelly Skater pins Mercedes Martinez to win the tag match and earn herself a title match. She gets a title match. Savoy and Shayna kept interfering until finally Shayna came out. Shayna came out with a pipe and chased off Shayna and Savoy, and then Skater got the upset win and won the championship. And then Shayna and Shayna had a match where Shayna looked like she was about to win, but then took Shayna outside and hung her over the railing with the leg lock and got disqualified. And this caused a big brawl, and then they had a rematch, which was no DQ. And in the rematch, which was a taping before, Shayna defeated Shayna after Nicole accidentally hit Shayna with a belt, and then Shayna whacked her with a pipe and took her out and beat her. But in the process, she had done a Hearn Carana outside the ring, and she crashed, and she hit the Hearn Carana, but she also smashed her head on the hardwood floor where there was no mats, like, you know, Bill Watts was booking the territory. And she busted the back of her head open, where she needed 7 staples. And she can't, dude, this girl's got like Ric Flair hair, basically. So the back of her whole head looked like Ric Flair, because she's got the white hair. And it was right down the middle of the back of her head. So, like, at first, you just see like a slight thing of red. And then by the end of the match, because they wrestled for a few more minutes, the whole back of her head was fucking covered in blood and stuff. So I guess they had to take her to go get the staple. So she wasn't there to help Kelly Skater in the rematch, and Shayna and Nicole are interfering the whole fucking match, and it's Kelly Skater's fighting back, and it's a really, really good match. And then finally, the ref has enough, and he starts to throw Shayna and Nicole out. And while he's doing that, they did the finish to the first match where they did a, you know how they do like a small package, but they keep rolling? And they roll, like, over on top of each other? Okay, well, the first match, that was a finish. They started doing this, and it was the most perfect roll because they never touched the ropes, but they were fucking going fast, and Bryce Rinsberg was the referee. And this motherfucker is running as fast as he can, following the ball around the ring that's starting to pull away from him running as fast as he can. They almost motherfucking lapped the referee. It was fucking hilarious, dude. And then they stopped, and then that was the finish. So they do that. Kater goes for the pin, but this time Mercedes kicked out. And this is also, like I say, when Shayna and Savoy are being thrown out. So it's kind of distracting. And then Martinez kicked out, and then she hit her move and pinned Kelly Skater and won back the Shimmer Championship. And it was an awesome storyline and awesome match. Mercedes Martinez, like, I think she's been wrestling like 6 years, but I think she's like at the best she's ever been. Like, she's like, you know how like Jericho and Batista got really badass toward the end? She's always been good, but now she's just like out of this world awesome and stuff. So those were the tastings. I wanted to finish that since I spent so much time last week talking about them and then got cut off. But I know you don't like women's wrestling.
I just don't like to watch it.
Plus, I also know that you know, if you don't really know the wrestlers, you don't really get invested. So you'll watch the occasional NXT special, but mainly, you know, you watch WWE, TNA back in the day, stuff like that. So, but if you were to go or watch these DVDs, I think I'm not saying you would love the matches or whatever, but you would love the fucking booking because they are the most well booked fucking shows. There's 5 tapings. The storylines go through all 5 tapings. Every taping affects the next taping. It's so amazing. Like I say, like they had the Lufisto turn took 4 matches to happen. The Saraya Knight babyface turn took a few. It's pretty much what's happening the first time, but they used Mickie James to help Turner to make sure they turned her babyface. They had the thing with Chazza and Shayna, Skater and so on. So, I mean, everything means something, and it's just so amazing because, like, if you're booking that makes sense and the follow through and not have something happen and it never gets followed through, I mean, these are the shows to check out because it's just, they pay so much attention to detail. It's It's crazy.
But, there was no ass gate this year, like last year?
No. That was two tapings ago. I didn't post any photos until after I got home. So
that has been so long since we've done a show. We now have a WWE Hall of Famer as the president. That's wild.
Wait, say that again?
So we now have a WWE Hall of Famer as the president of the United States. That's crazy.
So are you fucking white people? Oh, y'all saw.
Hey, like I said at the beginning, I wanted no part of this shit and had nothing to do with it.
Now I'm going to tell you why he won. Okay? Tell you exactly why he won. And this doesn't mean that I approve of this or anything. It's just my opinion on why he won. The last few years, you've had this big PC thing where everyone gets offended about everything. And right now, or before the presidency, the gays and the lesbians have had more rights than they've ever had. You know, they're able to get married. They push them like you're not supposed to be mean or say mean things about them. You have all the black people who have gotten upset about the police brutality, and in some cases, rightfully so. And they've made a lot of news protesting. And you have all these things like that. And people forget that the USA, while the minorities have risen in some parts, like, you know, Texas, California, whatever, the majority of the United States is still white. And a lot of them don't like being forced or pushed to, okay, I'm supposed to love gay people now, even though we hated them for so long. They see all the riots with the black people. They don't like what's going on, even though it's probably right. It's right, and that's the way it should be. They don't like being told that. They don't like the way that. And they have a president who they feel can derail all that, and they can change that, even though he's not. Nothing that he said he's going to follow through on. All the shit that he said to please these people, he's not going to do because it'll cause more shit. So it's my opinion that they felt, especially because the Democrats were stupid and they picked a candidate nobody liked anyway. I mean, they're on this gimmick, okay, we have the first black president, so let's have the first female president. I mean, it's fine that we might have a female president one day, but you picked somebody people don't like. So that, and just people don't want to change and they want it back to the way it used to be, and I think they feel that voting for Trump will somehow get it back to being that way. And I doubt that's what's going to happen, but I think it's going to make shit worse as far as racial people doing like hate crimes and shit like that. But in my opinion, I think that's what it was. It's just a lot of these white people, they just don't like how shit's going, even though it's right and it's the way it should be. And this is their way to kind of protest that. And enough of them voted, and it would be Hall of Famer's president.
Yep. I hope you're not part of the 3 million Mexicans he threw in that country.
I was born in this country. I ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
And thankfully, I live in a Mexican city, so you know what I mean? It'd be different if I lived in fucking bumfuck Idaho or fucking, you know what I mean, Montana or something like that. You know, I live in South Texas, so I'm fine.
I don't know. I miss the days of great presidents like Ronald Reagan. You know?
Yeah.
Cool presidents. I even like Bill Clinton.
Yeah. The only thing that was wrong with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I even like George. I mean, I never got into the big politics and stuff. You know, I never got into why people hate like George Bush or whatever. I like George Bush. He's okay. You know? Even like Barack Obama, I thought he was pretty cool. So,
hey, all I know is gas. I put gas for $1.69 the other day, and well, he's still president. So hey, that's all I need. The president is cheap gas. I don't give a fuck what the president does. I don't give a fuck what wars he gets us into. If they can keep gas at $1.69, I'm happy.
And just to show you how how sensitive this whole presidential thing is. You know, Vince McMahon hadn't even, you'd think they'd put something on the Raw about him, of Hall of Famer becoming the president. He hadn't even told
yeah.
him, so.
Yeah, so. That says something right there. It'd be funny
yeah.
if then there's like some kind of position or something.
Well,
he
goes
kind of like ambassador or
secretary of commerce or something.
Right, I wouldn't doubt it. That'd
yeah.
be funny. Yeah.
So anyway, so you watched did you watch the Takeover show last weekend?
I saw the first half of it. I got kind of tired and decided to watch the rest of it later, and then I just haven't gotten back to it, even though I heard it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The Revival against Gargano and Ciampa was the best match on the show, I thought. It was really good. And Mickey and Asuka was a pretty good match, too. Good to see Mickey
yeah,
join
Mickey,
back. They'll bring
her
back.
She was in better shape than she ever was in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, cause she, like I say, she wrestled two matches at Shimmer, and she did pretty good in them, and it looked great. I mean, she's still pretty hot. Just, you know, she looks a little older, but a lot leaner.
Yeah, they've got, I know you recently signed up for the High Spots Wrestling Network, like watching stuff on there, and they've got a Mickie James shoot interview on there. It's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Huh?
Damn, it's 3 hours long. Yeah, I saw it on there.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours long. They also have like a behind the scenes thing where she's like training people, like before a show or something. It's pretty good. You ought to check it out. So.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I was actually kind of disappointed on what they have. I guess they change it up every month, right? I guess since it's a monthly thing. But
yeah, I'm
mostly
just watching like the shoot interviews. I'm into mostly.
Yeah.
I've been watching a whole bunch of those. They're really good. There's some good. If you like Cornette, there's some great Cornette shoot interviews on there. Love me some Cornette shoot interviews.
I think it's impossible for him to cut a bad shoot interview.
Yeah. Even when he's talking, even when he's ranting about shit, I actually like. I enjoy listening to him. That tells you. So.
Yeah, he's just a great storyteller.
Yeah. Enough. And they had Samoa Joe beat Nakamura for the NXT title. I guess they're going to put the title back on him in Japan. They had Japan shows coming up pretty soon or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like in two weeks.
Yeah. I think
even
there's
though
one
of them
on the network, I think. It can be one like a network special or something. So
it should be. Might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of taking them off if they're not going to put it on the next down and him to win it back if they're not going to put it on the network? So.
Yeah.
They need to be on the fucking main roster. I mean, I don't know why Nakamura's been there a year.
Why do you think some of the people, when they sign them, they don't actually have the designs for them to be on the main roster? I think they just have the designs for them to work for NXT. You know, just that.
Yeah, but they should be able to. They should be able to realize that they're way better than the people on the main roster and put them on the main roster.
Yeah.
NXT is okay. NXT is the development of the territory, right? I know Hunter likes to say it's his own brand, but basically NXT is developmental. Who on that fucking takeover show, other than the Revival, okay, is a development.
Which if they brought
wrestler.
Them up, I'm not sure they would just get bogged down in the tag team thing and not done
yeah.
much with.
But my point is, they're the only wrestlers that are being brought up to be trained like developmental wrestlers, okay? Bobby Roode has been wrestling for, what, a decade?
Eric Young?
Eric Young's been there forever. The guy Bobby Roode wrestled, Ty Dillinger. He's been there for years. He was actually on ECW when they had that. So that's how long he's been wrestling. He's not a new guy.
He was Sean. He was Gavin Spears or something. I didn't know that's who he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's who he was. And then you have the Revival. Johnny Gargano and Ciampa, they've been around forever on the indies. They're not trainees.
Yeah.
Mickie James is not a trainee. She's been around for fucking a long time. Same thing with Austin. Okay. Knock and Joe. They're not trainees. The only trainees that were on there were the Revival. Okay, it's supposed to be developmental, mm-hmm. and the only developmental people on the fucking TakeOver special are the fucking tag champions. Well, I shouldn't say that because they had that other tag match. They had Razor. Okay, those dudes, those guys are developmental, but they're not very good.
It wasn't very good.
You know what I mean? Even the babyfaces who I've heard were great in Japan, they're not, they had a couple cool moves, but they're not nothing special. Yeah. I mean, the developmental right now, I mean, they did, you know, get a few people doing pretty good, but as far as the developmental, those wrestlers all suck. It's the guys that have been there for years that are any good.
Because I actually never really watched the actual NXT weekly show. Because I just watched the TakeOver shows because usually they're the best. So,
yeah.
And I watched them much like of the rest of during the week.
They did a good job with Charlotte and Sasha. Because they hadn't really been around that much before they started.
I can see
but
them bringing like the guys that need to be brought up. I can see them bringing Bobby Roode up like in the next 6 months or so. He's one I think they'll bring to the main roster. So, Joe needs to be on the main roster. I don't know why he isn't. He's perfect to work with Brock at some point.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody else on the roster. I mean, take Goldberg out of the picture. You don't have anybody else on the current, like on the roster that can, I think, can believably give him a match. To be honest.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you look at everybody that's on there. I can't see anybody up there that can really, they could buy beating him at this point. So.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Since Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley and Becky left NXT, I mean, they have Asuka, who's really good, but they had to bring in Mickie James because, I mean, Ember Moon is pretty good. But everyone else is so lacking. Billie Kay used to be really, really good, but she took a couple years off, and she's regressed quite a bit, in my opinion. Some people might get mad at me for saying that, but that's just how I feel. She was way better back in the day. And then everyone else, that Aaliyah sucks. Liv Morgan is cute as hell, but she sucks. That Daria sucks. All the developmental women that Warren, a former, like that one on, that's with Eric Young. She's good, but she's been in the Indies for a while. Other than that, I mean, all their women suck. So when they do this women's tournament, I hope to God they do like, you know, like the cruiserweights really didn't. Other than I guess Gargano and Ciampa, everyone else wasn't like an NXT person. So I'm hoping that they just say fuck, keep these shitty girls off, and let's just bring in totally independent women wrestlers, and then they might actually have a great tournament and not have their girls fuck it up, because the girls they have in developmental and even the ones they've brought up to the Raw roster, they're fucking dog shit.
They have, I mean, they've got, it's kind of funny. You have Asuka and Nakamura, they got like a perfect opportunity to bring both them up and make them huge stars on the main roster, because I think they both got like the charisma that most Japanese people, guys haven't had, have been on the main roster before. I mean,
yeah.
Asuka, she's like fucking, I mean, she's fucking tough, but she's got a pretty glamorous look to her, too. So,
yeah.
I think they'll get over well. And Nakamura, he's just so wacky that he'll get over, you know.
Yeah. Like, Asuka's one of the best women wrestlers in the world, and she's in developmental, and fucking Dana Brooks on WWE. I mean, fuck's wrong with this picture?
Well, Christ Almighty, they had, in the draft, they had picks from NXT. You could pick anyone from NXT, and they picked Mojo fucking Rawley, and you got Samoa Joe and Nakamura down there. He's just fucking moron. And I know it's just a storyline, but they just, you know, you can pick someone from NXT, but they won't. And, you know, in real life, they don't want to bring them up, but, I mean, still, it makes you look like a fucking idiot. You don't bring somebody like that up.
Yeah. And like Carmella too. Carmella sucks too. Alexa Bliss. I like Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
But Her and the four horsewomen and Alexa Bliss are the only good ones that have come up from NXT. All the other ones, like I say, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really hits you if you were to go to Shimmer and see all these girls having all these awesome matches, and then you watch WWE and you're like, what the fuck?
Yep. So what did you think of the Survivor Series?
I enjoyed it. It was I thought everything was pretty good. The women's match was good. It's funny because as much as I'm ripping on Dana and Nia, I thought Sasha was kind of bad in the majority of that match too. She didn't look good. But they booked it the right way, you know, because you had to have two Raw teams winning and have SmackDown win the big one. So, and then they put Bayley over strong basically because she won it, and then they had Charlotte turn on her to build that feud. So I thought that was
it got tiring though, the whole teammates turning on each other stuff. It got tiring by the end of the night.
Yeah, I can see that, I guess. But I mean, this was still the first match, so it hadn't gotten too bad.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoyed the women's match.
And of course, we had to put up with that every week because we got to watch Sheamus and Cesaro out there being a team for God knows what reason. They always arguing and stuff. I hate the arguing with the teammates all the time unless it's leading to a big thing. Remember, like, when, back in the day, you know, like, teammates used to argue. It would lead to, like, a big angle, like, in 2 months, 2-3 months. You know, would be the big turn, like Shawn Michaels to turn on Marty Jannetty or something like that. No, it's just like an everyday thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And then what did they have after the women? Was it the Miz and Ziggler?
The Intercontinental title with the Miz and Sami Zayn. It was a good match.
Yeah, the Miz is so much better than a lot of people give him credit for. And then Maurice is just fucking awesome.
I think Miz still gets shit because he's on a fucking reality show. You know?
Yeah, because he's one of the best characters on there.
I mean, he came from like a reality TV show that, you know, that kind of got his foot in the door, and I think he's kind of paid for it ever since when he's really pretty damn good.
Yeah, and Sammy's good. So this was a good match. That was good. What they had next, the tag SmackDown match, the tag Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
This
was kind of
really
took me
good.
Back to the 80s with the 20 men out there. I thought this was pretty cool. So.
Yeah. There, unfortunately, no Young Stallions, but it was still pretty good. I thought the match was actually really good. I thought it was it was funny when they got rid of the New Day after like fucking 30 seconds, basically.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that tag match and the ending was when it got down to the last few teams was really good. So I thought that was good. I think the cruiserweights have been an absolute failure since they've gone to Raw. And
I liked it in the beginning, but it's the same shit every week.
Yeah,
I mean it's the same dudes. I mean I guess I miss like the classic back in the classic days when you had like all the Mexican and the Japanese, you know, like on Nitro and shit every week.
Yeah, and they were doing all this crazy shit. Now you'll see more high spots in a heavyweight match than you do on the cruiserweight matches sometimes. It's like ridiculous.
It's just like everybody's almost, it's almost like they're all the same. Like, when back in the day, everybody was different. Everybody had their own style and they had their own signature moves and stuff like that. I think it's just, you know, because you had the classic names back then, like Juventud Guerrera and Rey Mysterio Jr. and Psychosis and Jushin Liger and shit. There's nobody like that today. And, I mean, I don't like Brian Kendrick at all. I can't tell you why. I just don't. He just looks like a mess.
He's not a cruiserweight. He doesn't wrestle like a cruiserweight anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
for one thing.
He just... got there with a goatee trying to look like a tough guy and looks like an idiot. I mean, shit. You know, so.
They do have.
Goes,
they do
that fucking stupid ass storyline where he's asking TJ Perkins to lay down for him so he could win, so he, you know, so he went into his career or something like that. I don't know. he acted like he was on death's door if he lost this match or something.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ. I like TJ Perkins. He's really good.
Yeah. They do have three guys that, you know, had a finished contract things that are haven't been there, so maybe they'll freshen it up a little bit. But it's been such a big disappointment since the main roster.
I wish they would have
gone
to SmackDown.
You know,
I wish they would have had Kalisto win. I think SmackDown is a better fit for them.
Yeah, and then, like I said, they're having a long fucking match, and then fucking piece of shit ending when Baron Corbin just comes out and beats both of them up. Fucking, I'm surprised he didn't put them in the scanner recliner together. And
I
shit.
Just like Baron Corbin so much. I was like going apeshit with that one week when they accidentally hurt his knee off the apron and Kalisto beat the shit out of him. That was some good stuff.
Man, he sucks. And a 20-year-old should not be going bald. He should just shave it off.
If he was a good worker, I mean, he would actually be pretty good. He's got a great look to him, I think. You know, he's got good size to him and stuff like that. And I think he gets good promos.
His hair kills everything about him.
At least Shawn Michaels was old and he could still work when it started going up.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be able to recapture some of the Cruiserweight Classic magic with the new show debuting next week. So I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, hopefully Vince doesn't have nothing to do with that show. Maybe it'll be all right.
I think it's going to be, like, I think Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo doing the announcing, so that should be pretty good, too.
Yeah. And then the main Survivor Series match, team match was, I thought it was really good. I didn't realize that it lasted 50 fucking minutes until I
neither did I.
Dave show.
Felt like about 30 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was 50.
You had the best quote, I think you had this on your Facebook, that Shane McMahon is so horrible, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, he is. He's horrible, but it's awesome.
When you start doing those punches, it's just, God, it's horrible. And then he's doing arm drags and he's kicking out of code breakers. Like, God damn. Come on, dude.
And then
he almost died and we all felt sorry for him.
You know, that was funny because that was like, you remember that fucking horrible match between Cactus Jack and the Sandman?
You wrote it down. I think they probably had a few horrible matches. Was this the one where Sandman got knocked out?
Yeah, the one where he got knocked out, and then he didn't want to. He was so fucked up that he kept kicking out of the finishes, and Cactus Jack had to keep beating his ass even more and more and more. So finally, he couldn't kick out anymore. But that's basically what happened. He got so wacky in the head that he kicked out of the finish, and then the referee just, "Oh, fuck it, he's out. It's over." I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That spear, it looked like to me, when he came down and he hit, it kind of looked like he caught Roman with a DDT or something. That's what it looked like to me. I mean,
it kind of looked like he was getting ready to catch a punt and fucking forgot to call for the fair catch and got fucking smashed in the face.
He didn't know where he was, and that's why his shoulder came up. I don't think he was kicking out or anything like that.
And then the best spot of the whole match, that was fucking Eldor fucking grabbing Roman's foot. That was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. Do you watch SmackDown at all?
I was trying to catch it here and there, but I haven't been watching it consistently.
James Eldor stuff has been tickling the shit out of me. That's some good stuff. That's like old school, like mulky bullshit. You know, getting the shit kicked out of him. And he had a world title match with AJ Styles with, I think Dean Ambrose was the referee or something. Or no, he was the referee in the non-title match. But they had a title match that it was like an awesome match because they did all this good shit and his hope spots with James Ellsworth. But he lost in the end by just He won by disqualification in the end, but he had a hell of a match, and they had a hell of a ladder match the other night. That was really exciting.
Remember when AJ was trying to put a chin lock on him, but he kept escaping because he don't have a chin?
Yeah. That's why his finisher is called No Chin Music.
Yeah.
That's a good one good line that David Otunga has come up with since he's been an announcer, no chin music. So. And AJ Styles, he was, Jesus Christ, I don't know how he ain't dead after Braun Strowman tossed him out of the fucking ring.
Well, he pretty much tried to recreate it on his own with the ladder on SmackDown. I saw that.
Oh,
part.
Yeah. I mean, geez, that scared the shit out of me.
It's like a cat.
I mean, so some people just take those bumps, like those wild bumps, where it looks like they're going to kill themselves when they go out. But, I mean, just I don't know, it's just some magical that happens that they don't, you know? So,
yeah, it's like he's part cat or something.
It's like all that shit Sabu used to do when he get up from him, except when Chris Benoit broke his neck. I mean, he didn't get up from that one. That was the only thing he didn't get up from him. That and when he and Terry Funk got so wound up in the barbed wire, they had to go for the finish. So.
Yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
And, yeah, this it smashed for 52 minutes, and I swear it felt like it was only 30. There, it felt like 500 things were happening in this match, you know? So,
yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's idea of a practical joke with, like, taking these big people like Kevin Owens and Nia Jax and making them wear the Raw T-shirts. Somebody's got a weird sense of humor. I don't know. Somebody's pulling a rib or something. Both of them look like they should be advertising Kool-Aid or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, kind of.
And really, this would have been perfect for, they should have just put The Undertaker in the Shane spot, I think, since he was on there Tuesday before anyway. Just had him do like a double count out with Braun Strowman or something.
Yeah, they could have done that.
Of course, they would have made that. That would have mean I'd miss the James Ellsworth spot, which was so fucking awesome. But still. And I was laughing my ass off at Kevin Owens got DQ'd because he hit him with the List of Jericho. I mean, come on, seriously. That can't hurt that bad.
Right.
And
Jericho's guilty.
Say what now?
Wait, no, you're saying something. What?
I was just going to say, I like the end of the match.
I was going to say then Jericho getting all sad about the List and picking it up, and that's what caused him to get beat.
Yeah. And I don't know why this is one of these little nitpicks that just bugs the shit out of me. Why was Seth Rollins wearing a shirt the whole match?
Why was what?
Why was Seth Rollins wearing a shirt the whole match? He's wearing like that half a Raw shirt and half of Seth Rollins T-shirt. It puts together or something. He wore that the whole match. It bugs me for some reason people do that.
I don't even know what Seth was supposed to be. I think he's supposed to be a babyface, but there's nothing likable about him as a babyface.
Yeah, well, I love the spot with the Shield when they attacked the security guys. That was a good spot. But the only thing you can do to get these idiots to start cheering Roman Reigns, you know.
Yeah,
so.
and then once that was over, they went back to bullying his ass.
Yeah. And Dean Ambrose is quickly becoming like the most annoying person on WWF TV. I mean, my God, he just, I don't know what, the writing's just bad or something's up with him. I think they just need to stick him in. Eventually, he's going to go back to Raw and they're going to do the Shield again, I think. That just makes the most sense to me since they're all baby faces now. So, I'm trying to think of any other. Yeah, they had the RKO and the when Seth was going for the Frog Splash was pretty awesome. And
yeah, that was
the end when Orton shoved Bray out of the way to hit the spear and then Bray got the win. I'm liking the Orton and Bray Wyatt stuff. I didn't think I would, but they make a decent team.
Yeah, actually they do.
I mean, I was still expecting this to be a swerve and Orton's just stringing him along. He's going to turn on him or something, but. You know.
Yeah.
So after that, we had the Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar main event. I'll tell you, I did not watch this show live. I started watching about 11:30. When I watch it after the live airing, it always has the exact time that the show lasts. So on my thing, it was saying 3 hours and 26 minutes was the length of the show. they said, okay, that's fine. You know, they said it was 4 hours, but, you know, sometimes when they, it's 4 hours, three and a half is good enough. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think they started the video package for Brock and Goldberg at like 3 hours and 18 minutes. So I said, okay, I guess this is going to be short. I didn't know how short it's going to be, but I said, okay, maybe they'll do just like 4 or 5 minutes, like high impact stuff. And you know, and it's going to be a quick match. I didn't think anything of it. And then what I got was, I thought this was like the best booked match since when, a couple of years ago at WrestleMania. You remember when they booked Seth to cash in the Money in the Bank at that WrestleMania main event with Brock and Roman Reigns?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was like one of the best booked matches since then. I thought this whole thing was totally awesome. A lot of people didn't like it, which, whatever. But I loved it. This was great.
A lot of people were stupid because, like, oh, why give it to Goldberg and not somebody else? There's no one else to give it to. It wouldn't have meant shit to give it to anybody else. And now we have more shit to look forward to.
Yep.
So, yeah, I figured it'd be a short match where Bill would get the shine and then Brock would win, maybe off a distraction from Paul, but basically he'd win. And basically he just bullies Goldberg back into the corner with like the double leg, and then Goldberg pushes him off and then hits his first spear. That was awesome. And then Brock's starting to get up, and then he hits the second spear. And as soon as he hit the second spear, I was like, oh, shit, he's winning. And then he lifted him up for the jackhammer, hit the jackhammer, got the win, face went crazy. Dave was wrong, by the way. They were actually cheering Goldberg before. He was so sure that they were going to boo him and be against him.
I was kind of worried about him getting booed just because of where they were. And sometimes it's weird like that. But, I mean, crowd was perfect on this night.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were chanting Goldberg. I mean, I thought it was a shock because, like I'm saying, I had no thought that Goldberg was going to win until he hit the second spear, and then it was like, oh, shit, he's fucking winning. And it was a shock. He got a reaction. He builds up the Royal Rumble and then hopefully another match in WrestleMania, which I thought having this match at Survivor Series was stupid. If it's gonna be Goldberg's only match, why is it now and not WrestleMania? But now they've built it to where they can still do it at WrestleMania, which is good. And also something at the Rumble, which they got a lot of seats to fill, so you know,
I'm sure you're going to it.
Yeah, I'm going to it. I haven't gotten tickets yet. I'm kinda worried they're gonna change the seating configuration. That they don't sell enough tickets beforehand, but we'll see.
You're just hoping they do Taco Bell coupons like last time.
That'd be awesome too. They didn't.
But I mean, a lot of people are like, I listen to Wrestling Observer Live on Monday because I want to hear what was said, and I don't know, somebody called in and said, "Oh, I thought this was, I was pissed off because this was I subscribed for this month just for this match because I thought it was one and done and." It's not, and I thought, okay, what are you pissed off about? You know that
you're excited to see it. You should be happy to see it more. People are just idiots, dude. I hate wrestling fans.
I mean, you know that, and especially if you're calling to like Observer Live, you're like somewhat of a smart fan. I have to say, so you know that some of this stuff may say it for once, but you know it can continue and stuff. So I don't know. I think you're just trying to complain about, but didn't have any like valid complaint and. Like I was watching somebody, you got to go on YouTube and go to the search engine and type in Goldberg versus Lesnar reaction to watch people reacting to this in their living rooms.
Which is the fact that these people are recording themselves watching the match, you know what I mean?
You
that
know,
says
I can
a whole lot about them.
Because I like watching these reaction videos, like when I've gotten into watching reaction videos where people like watching these
the Red Wedding.
Like movie trailers and stuff like that. So I'd like to see how people react to stuff like that. You know?
Ever since the Red Wedding, everybody wants to record themselves fucking watching shit.
Yeah. Because I mostly got into it because when Star Wars was getting ready to come out and people were reacting to the trailer, I thought that was pretty cool. People getting excited and stuff. So, but the main complaints were okay, you got a guy who's 50 years old and hasn't wrestled in 12 years. So instead of fixating on the fact that he's 50 years old, look at the 50-year-old that had the match. He looked like he could kill somebody, right?
Yeah.
Legitimately. I mean, he looked like a fucking monster. I mean, he didn't look all that different from his WCW day. Maybe a little bit leaner, but that's about it.
If anything, he looked like he had more muscle on him now.
Yeah, and he hasn't wrestled in 12 years. I can notice people, you don't have to have wrestled a regular schedule or at all in the past decade to catch a cocky, arrogant guy with two spears and a jackhammer and get the victory. You know, it doesn't... I mean, it's not like his moves aren't, like, less impactful just because he hasn't done them in 12 years. You think he hadn't been training for this shit? So, I mean, that's stupid. And, I mean, Brock, he went in there overconfident and cocky, and he, you know, he got shoved down, and the shoved down was so great because it was like the bully in high school, like, when he's fucking with somebody. He gets pushed on his ass, and he's, like, looking around to make sure nobody saw it, and he'd be fucking embarrassed. That's the way Brock was looking. He had like 20,000 people looking right at him. So he kind of smiles, and then he gets up and turns around and eats a spear, and it looked like he killed him. He could easily say he broke one of his ribs because it looked that bad. And then he hit another one, and then he hit the jackhammer for the win. I mean, people say it wasn't believable because he's 50 years old and wrestled in 12 years. And that's bullshit. I mean, it's no different than, like, an MMA fight. You know, some of those biggest dudes lose in, like, 2 minutes. Shit just happens.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was actually more realistic than anything they would have done, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, not that long ago, I saw the welterweight fucking championship fucking change because the champion had already beat the shit out of the challenger before and didn't think he could do anything to touch him. And in the first round, got fucking whacked, got knocked down, and then had a look on his face like, no, that didn't fucking happen. And then fucking got finished in the first fucking round by Michael Bisping, who'd been a good fighter but could never beat the really top guys and always lost his chances. And now he's fucking champion because the guy fucking took him too lightly. So, I mean, and for real, it'll happen in a fake fight, too.
Yeah, and it's like, people act like if my the phrase I hate the most in, like, pro wrestling is, like, killed him dead. You know, like, now it's over with. You can never, like, this guy's never going to be anything again. If you beat him, it's not going to mean anything. I mean, people complain about, well, they wasted the streak of The Undertaker because they beat him, and they didn't do it with somebody, like, a younger person. Like, as much as people want to keep on talking about, like, the streak, it was a big deal when he beat the streak. Yeah. But after that, you know what's going to get over? The next time somebody beats Brock Lesnar, it's not going to be because they beat the guy that beat the streak. It's because they beat Brock fucking Lesnar, you know, who's killed everybody for 4 years. I mean, you just take the streak out of it. You know, it don't matter. At least that's what I think, you know. I think it's kind of, you know, they wasted the streak. He can easily be built back up. He can come back and get his win over Goldberg and still be the monster from before. Sometimes it happens to these big guys, you know. They just get caught, but it's not nothing they can't come back from. They can still make a star, like, in a year, two, or three, you know, bring somebody up to get a big, big decisive win over him. So, you know, I don't understand
some of the best Brock Lesnar promos happened after the first Frank Mir fight that he lost. He got screwed by the ref, but those promos he cut leading up to the rematch, some of the best shit he's ever done. So now we got a pissed off Brock Lesnar instead of a cocky Brock Lesnar. So it brings this whole
thing. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see what Brock Lesnar comes back. Cause, I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's Brock Lesnar. You know he's going to come back and kill somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know. The whole thing about the streak, you know, The Undertaker had the streak at WrestleMania, but nobody ever cared when he lost outside of WrestleMania, which he did a lot. Okay, he beat the streak. You know, the streak means, I think it means more when he's actually at WrestleMania because that's where people remember it the most. So you beat him at WrestleMania, you've done something. So, but at other events, I don't think it's a big deal. And so, I mean, it's just, I mean, people can think what they, if they didn't like it, they didn't like it. I thought it was, actually, I thought it was right up there with, as far as shocking moment, as shocking as when Brock beat Undertaker. You know, maybe even more. So,
yeah. And people just like to bitch. I mean, they could, no matter what the finish, no matter what the finish was, there was going to be people bitching about whatever it was. If Brock would have won, people would have been bitching about Brock winning after Goldberg got over so good. And it just, whatever it is, just people want to fucking bitch. And, you know, it's just, it's like, just shut the fuck up and enjoy the product.
It's,
you don't have
like,
to bitch about everything.
A young guy can still come along in a year or two and beat Brock, and it'll mean just as much. It don't matter. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I thought the match was laid out good, because if it had gone like 10 or 15 minutes and Goldberg won, you know, that would have been a back-and-forth match. It's more believable the way he won than if he'd done a longer match. So.
Yeah.
But goddamn, the internet's been entertaining the last week.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, and you got a pay-per-view main event and went 2 minutes. You got a 52-minute match right before it.
Yeah.
You weren't getting ripped off. In fact, I believe every match at least went, like, those tag matches and, like, the women's match, they went at least 20 or 25 minutes each. So...
How long did the majority of the Mike Tyson matches last? Like 2 minutes?
It's that. I mean, that was a big deal.
At least at least on this one, you got, like you said, 52-minute match, a women's match, a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, and like the Mike Tyson, like I never got to see any of his fights live because they were mostly on pay-per-view and stuff back then. Finally going to get to watch one. It was in Japan when he fought Buster Douglas. I said, okay, this is going to be, I've been wanting to see one of these Mike Tyson, you know, quick fights. So he had gone, this match, this fight, he's going round after round. I mean, he went to the 9th or 10th round or something. But at least, you know, I got an upset in the end, so I wasn't totally disappointed. I got like one of those shocking moments in sports. That was cool. and honestly, Brock has, last couple of years, Brock's been kind of stagnant. You know, it's the same stuff, basically, when he comes in. You know, come in and kill a guy, leave for 3 months. Come in and kill a guy, leave for 3 months. He needs something to, you know, shake his character up a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So fuck what everyone else thinks. I enjoyed it.
I mean, at first I thought maybe Brock was leaving after the smash when I first watched it. Before I knew that Goldberg had signed on for more dates. So, but apparently they're good friends, so he probably didn't mind doing this kind of thing for him. So.
I'm sure they're probably out in the fucking wilderness hunting together right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I do have one question is from that whole show, though, that's just a big mystery. Why did his son take off his shirt?
I think maybe his son was the ringside flexing. Something, you know how a kid would do at a wrestling show.
I don't know. I've never taken my shirt off.
You know, like maybe
that.
His dad was, like maybe when his dad won and was sitting up on the ring post posing, maybe took his shirt off and started posing along with his dad. It did look weird when it just, like with no context at all, he just was in there with no shirt on.
Yeah.
And Paul Heyman was so great in this match. When he was down from the spears, he just praying the guy. He said, "Please, please, please," with his hands like he's praying. It was so great.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
But yeah, at the end, I'll put this match up there as far as famous matches. I put this up there with like Brock and Undertaker, like. That King of that Hell in a Cell with Foley and Undertaker. Montreal is like one of the most famous matches in WWE history. So.
Yeah. Well, did, since we've pretty much talked about the big, big news, is there any other things you want to talk about before we go?
Have you seen Doctor Strange yet?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty awesome.
I wasn't looking forward to it that much because it's one of those characters that, like, me, the casual, like, Marvel comic fan, don't really know much about or don't know if it's a big deal or not. But I thought it was good. Visually, I thought it was probably the best Marvel movie as far as the effects go. I mean, it's like an acid trip or something, you know, during those fights. It was awesome.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been on acid while watching it. But I thought they did a good job with the casting and the portrayal of him before he became Doctor Strange and everything. So yeah, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
What else is there? We never talked about I know that this is old news, but what'd you think of that premiere of The Walking Dead? That whole episode, whatever.
I thought it was great. I didn't know after it was over that it was going to lead to about 4 or 5 episodes where not too much happened, which is kind of what happened. But it's not like you can like fucking top the first one, so you got to build to something new. But they fucking swerved me. I thought I called it right perfectly. If you remember, I had everything right, and then they fucking had to throw in a double swerve and swerve me and fucking killed Glenn anyway. But I was saying forever that it was going to be Abraham, and it was. And I thought they did everything that I fucking predicted, and then boom, fucking Daryl had to fuck everything up.
You know, when you look back at the season finale from last season, you know, it showed him, he hit somebody, and then he said, look at that, he's taking it like a champ. And out of everybody, Abraham's the one guy that would, like, sit back up and just, like, and say, like, fuck you or something after being hit on the head with a baseball bat. So you should have known it was him. And he's like, fuck my nut. That was fucking awesome. But when Daryl hit him, I said, oh, you stupid motherfucker. Now you've done it. And I knew he wasn't going to kill Daryl. I knew somebody else had him to go. And you could see Glenn was, like, right behind him when he was saying, so, back to it. And he just fucking... That's another one you need to get on YouTube and look for reactions to that episode because those were some good stuff. That was probably, like, as far as TV show goes, they did the most uncomfortable TV show I've ever watched in my life. That was tough to watch, you know. And then I thought that if they would have cut Carl's arm off, I said, that's too much. That's too much shit. You know, that'd been just too gratuitous right there. And so, but just the most uncomfortable stuff wasn't even like the violence. It was just like the stuff leading to it. Because the guy was just like, he was like just raping Rick of his dignity. It's hard to watch, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like he was making Rick, you know, give him a blowjob or something right there in front of everybody. I mean, it was that bad, and I did like the line about Lucille being a vampire bat because all the blood. That was whoever wrote that.
Yeah,
a pretty good fucking line. And he's scary, man. Yeah. I'm at the age where stuff doesn't terrify me or scare me, but I mean, some of this stuff was pretty terrifying. So,
yeah, it was pretty shocking. I mean, it was pretty. It's fucking, you knew, well, because like it's a big part of the comic book, and they made it a big part of the TV show. I mean, it was pretty wild, but I kind of knew that it was going to lead to a lot of slow stuff after, so that's kind of what they've done, so I don't know, it might even be an episode or two before something major happens.
Yeah, they've done that, like, well, during most of the seasons, like, you'd have a big episode, and then it'll go to... just like two random people that haven't been on the show in a while, you know, just on an adventure somewhere. So, but I know there's like building through what's called like the Great War, at least in the comics it is. So I think that'll probably be where this season ends and the next one begins. Because people are only going to take so much. Somebody's going to have to retaliate and retaliate. And So, no, I'm really looking forward to. I never look so forward to seeing a heel get what he's got coming. Even though he's kind of charismatic, and I like him in a way, but he's just.
Can they top the death of fucking what's his name from Game of Thrones?
There's a lot of people have died. I'm not sure which. You have to
the fucking,
narrow it down.
The asshole with the dogs. His own dogs ate him.
Oh yeah. Ramsay.
Yeah, Ramsay. They got a top. Negan's death's got to, you know they're going to try and figure a way to top fucking Ramsay's death.
Yeah, Ramsay and Joffrey, well, they were the boat too, that, like, the most satisfying, I think, people that died.
Well, so. Joffrey's kind of came out of nowhere. He kind of, I actually wanted more shit to happen to him before he died.
Yeah. I think I can remember reading that he actually retired from acting because of the show. Because all the attention he's getting is that character. So.
Hey, okay. I'm kind of going through Twitter here. And did you ever see, it's a Japanese women's match. It's Akira Hokuto against Kendora. It's the one where Hokuto blades and bleeds, like, fucking gushes blood everywhere. It's like a real famous match.
No, I would remember the fucking man.
Okay, well, this the girl that Hokuto fought, Kendori, was kind of doing like a Kurt Angle gimmick before Kurt Angle. She was like in, like, you know, like I don't know if she was judo or wrestling or whatever, but she's kind of like that. That was her gimmick, like wrestling or MMA or whatever, way back when. Anyway, have you heard of Gabby Garcia?
I don't think I have.
Gabby Garcia is, she fought Lady Tapia in an MMA fight in Japan. She's this woman that's like 6 foot. She's fucking roided up. She makes fucking Cyborg look like a fucking tiny little girl. I mean, this girl is like a huge bodybuilder type, right? And she's supposedly a black belt, and she's had a couple fights, one of them being against Lady Tapia from TNA. Well, they signed the
Barbarian's niece or daughter or something?
Yeah, the Barbarian's like niece, Lady Tapia, and she beat Lady Tapia in a fight. Anyway, so this big, I guess she's in her 20s, maybe early 30s at the most, but she's still really young. Super jacked up, supposedly a black belt. Well, you know how they have to have these weird fights in Japan, so they just signed 52-year-old grandmother Kendori, who's a pro wrestler, you know, against Gabby Garcia, who's like twice her size. It's going to be, we might actually see a death scene. I think Gabby Garcia weighs about 250. That's how jacked up she is. And she's going to fight this 52-year-old lady who's been retired for years and years and years from pro wrestling and shit. So might actually see, like, a death in the ring. That's crazy. Japanese people, they're going to allow that to happen, but they're going to throw Matt Sydal in fucking jail for fucking 2 grams of fucking pot oil. Fucking Japanese people are fucked up.
Hey, I was going to tell you that, iSpot Network, if you want to check them out, they got a show called Hitting the High Spots with Dave Meltzer and Chris Hero doing, like, an interview.
There's a little Naylor in them, too.
Yeah, but he's good. I mean, he knows his shit, so I like him. They just bring out, like, all sorts of different stuff from, like, all different eras of wrestling that they talk about. It's really pretty cool. It's weird seeing Dave sit there. I don't know why it's what. It's weird watching Dave when he's just hurting for all these years. I don't know. And,
it's just weird observing Dave and fucking in the wild.
Yeah. it's just like in person. It's like, you know, he knows he's Dave Meltzer and he's a bad motherfucker or something like that. Yeah, I'm Dave Meltzer. I know my shit. Anyway, anything else?
No, not really. I'm actually planning to go to bed already, so I'm going to go ahead and end the show. So, like I say, next week we're scheduled to have Dave Prazak on the show. Hopefully he'll be in a better mood than he was today. That's why he didn't want to do the show. I think he was very going to say some. Yeah, it's just production shit that's kind of fucking up right now. And, you know, just, you know, he got a lot of shit to do. And he's trying to get some DVDs out and he's in a little trouble. And so he's having to deal with all that. So he's like, yeah, I'm probably not in the best mood to do it today. So it's probably that he'd say something he shouldn't say. So he said, hopefully I'll be in a better mood next week. So hopefully we'll have Dave on next week. And maybe Craig will join us. We'll see. Who knows? It's been a while since the three of us have all been on one show together. But anyway, other than that, I guess we'll talk to everybody next week.